I don't believe that Jesus ever did the good things that he did, healing people, because he had an agenda. We were watching a documentary the other night. It's about a man who is, he's wheelchair bound, a pilot, and he is going to the places in the world where the way to get to the most remote places, the most dangerous places, is by small aircraft. And he's gone to the Himalayas, to Nepal, and landing on the most incredible airstrips in all sorts of isolated places. And he was in Papua New Guinea, the last documentary that we saw, and he was with a Christian missionary organization. And during the course of talking to one of the women missionaries that he met, he said, if you were not allowed to preach your religion in this country, would you have come to do what you're doing? And she said, no. And these were not her exact words, but this is, I think, basically what she was saying was, what's the point helping people, and they live longer and whatever, they're just going to go to hell in the end. And I found that astonishing. That to do good in itself is not good enough. And it seems to me, as I've read about the good works that Jesus did, that he had no agenda, he just did it. He just did good to people. Not so that I may tell you something that you need to hear. He just did good. Let me give you some facts about leprosy. Leprosy, I didn't know this, leprosy is related to the TB germ. And it causes nerve damage, I knew that. It can lead to blindness if it's not treated early. Leprosy cannot be caught by touch. I have shaken hands with loads of lepers in Ethiopia. We lived about 200 yards from a leprosy hospital. It's mostly common in the third world, in areas of poverty and overcrowding and poor nutrition. Leprosy, by the 1980s, there were drugs that had been developed that now means that leprosy can be cured. When we lived in Africa, there was no cure for leprosy at all. Ignorance means that lepers are stigmatized even after cure, especially if a person has disabilities. And some of the disabilities that lepers have because they were not able to get treatment are horrendous. In 2013, there were almost 250,000 new cases of leprosy, and more than half of those were in India. And worldwide, about 3 million victims are disabled as a result of late treatment. And those facts come from the Leprosy Mission. So think of this man who was afflicted by leprosy. It may not have been the leprosy that we know today. It could be any number of horrible skin infections. He was desperate. He fell down. He's so desperate, he fell down before Jesus and he begged him to heal. He was an outcast. He was unclean. He was untouchable. And in the eyes of those in his society, he was being punished by God. The Jewish law stated 61 different contacts which made a person unclean. Ritual cleanliness was paramount to all good Jews. And they were terrified of being unclean by doing the wrong, touching the wrong person or whatever. Lepers were banished from society. In New Testament times, lepers were barred from entering Jerusalem, and all walled towns Touching a leper was second only to touching a dead body. If a leper put his head inside a house, you can imagine it, can't you? Hi, anybody there? The house became unclean. It was illegal to greet a leper. No one could come closer to a leper than 6 feet. If the wind was blowing towards, this is incredible. If the wind was blowing towards a person from a leper, the leper must stand at least 150 feet away. Presumably people carried tape measures with them. One rabbi would not eat egg bought in a street where a leper passed by, and another rabbi threw stones at lepers to keep them away. How about that for good religion? And like all sickness, the Jews regarded leprosy as a punishment from God. Leviticus 26. If you do not obey God's law, God will bring upon you wasting disease and fear. What a view of God, eh? Numbers 12. When Aaron and Miriam criticized, you remember they criticized Moses, and the text tells us that God struck Miriam with leprosy. I mean, why didn't he strike Aaron with leprosy? Why Miriam? Why pick on a woman? John 9, when the disciples, you know this one well, when the disciples of Jesus saw a man born blind, they said to Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So everything, they regarded all sickness, misfortune, as a judgment or punishment from God. Throughout Africa, AIDS is regarded as a curse. And Jerry Falwell, the late Jerry Falwell, the American fundamentalist, said, AIDS is not just God's punishment for homosexuals, it's God's punishment for a society that tolerates homosexuals. I'm glad that Jerry Falwell isn't God. So think of this man, diseased, outcast, unclean, condemned, and think of the risk that he's taking approaching Jesus. I mean, no doubt he had heard about Jesus. He must have heard about his healing miracles, because he is convinced that Jesus is his one hope of healing. The question is Jesus willing to heal him? The leper says, Lord, if you are willing, if you're willing, you can heal me. I think the text in Mark tells us three things. Jesus was filled with compassion. And secondly, Jesus wasn't afraid to touch him at all. He reached out and touched the man. And thirdly, Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. So he's filled with compassion. He touched the man and he said, be clean. So what does the text mean? Well, let me suggest that it means at least that God's heart is for the sick, the outcast, and the marginalized, and the untouchable. Listen to Rachel. You are treated as people with no soul, no integrity, no heart. It's the worst taboo in society, surpassing even death. You don't like to say you are mentally ill, because people won't love you. Kaleem is an 8-year-old Indian boy, and he has giant hands. I'll let you look at that afterwards, but this is Kaleem and his. He has giant hands, but they're not just you know, big, nice-looking hands, you know, like ours. They're the fingers. They're all distorted, and some are small, some are big. They're gross. They're swollen. They're horrific. You can look at it afterwards. He can't go to school. He's an Indian boy. He can't go to school because the headmaster thinks he would frighten the children. Maybe he would. He's shunned by family and community. Kalim's uncle says he's either a child of the devil or something satanic has happened to him. So he has these giant, grotesque hands. It's a particular disease that he's got, and they keep on growing. They are 13 inches from the wrist to the tip of the furthest digit at the moment. And then thinking of people who are outcast and not wanted, what about all those travellers parking in our public spaces? I mean, that really gets up my nose, that does. Driving up, you know, with their great big luxury caravans and whatever. And those foreign migrants, you know, who are forcing themselves on us. I understand from the gospel that God is on the side of the mentally ill, the gypsy, the AIDS victim, the traveller, the migrant, and all the other people I would rather have nothing to do with. And then secondly, I find this quite amazing, but it's God, isn't it? As I understand it, you know, the little glimpses I have and then hardly anything, God is willing to be contaminated by the sick and the unclean, and the untouchable. I mean, when you think about it, when Jesus touched this man, he himself becomes unclean, untouchable. When the prodigal comes home, you know, dressed in these filthy, disgusting rags, you know, and stinking of pigs, and I'd love to have seen this, you know, father puts his arms around this smelly git and kisses him, I mean, for goodness sake. And then think about this. When Jesus becomes contaminated, the leper becomes clean. What an exchange. And I think this text tells us that God wants people to be whole, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. That is his desire, isn't it? For you and me to be whole. Jesus said, I am willing. I think he might almost have, I wouldn't have been surprised if he said to the leper, what do you mean, am I willing? Of course I'm willing, but he didn't know that, did he? Sickness is not a punishment from God. Jesus never refused to heal the sick. Healing was the core of his ministry. When John the Baptist was in depression in prison, and he wondered whether he'd the whole you know thing about Messiah that he'd been talking about was a mistake, he sends disciples to Jesus and he says, please, are you the one who should come or is it somebody else? I need to know. I need to be certain. Are you the one? And Jesus says, well, you go back and tell John what's going on. The sick are being healed. The dead are being raised. Don't worry. It's all in hand. That was the evidence of the kingdom. People being made whole. Jesus never told people to accept their sickness because God wanted to teach them some spiritual lesson through it. Yuck. Medical science, I think, is the continuation of the healing ministry of God. When we looked at Job, we asked this question, didn't we? So when we pray for the sick, why don't some people get healed? Why didn't Helen? I knew Helen when I was doing teacher training. She was 21. Lovely girl. And then she got struck down with terminal cancer. Hundreds prayed for dear Helen. She died. And then there's Eddie Bouchard, my friend Eddie. He came into our home group one night. This is over a year ago now. And he said, I've been diagnosed with leukemia. And from that point on, he went through a battle with medication, chemotherapy, this therapy, that. And it just went on and on. And I kept praying every day, God, heal him. I will not be satisfied with anything less. And an excellent number of people prayed for him. Eddie died a few months ago. I was with him the day before he died. Don't know. Why? Don't know. Answers like, it wasn't God's will, or it wasn't God's time, or it was God's time, don't satisfy me. And then think of the importance of touch. Correct me if I'm wrong, there's a bit of a taboo on touch in this country, isn't there? I think so. Don't touch, you know. I would never touch a little child. You know, these funny old gits, you need to watch them. I would never say in the street passing, you know, hello to a little one, because I just feel, you know what I mean? Well, the curse of leprosy is that the victim loses feeling, the nerves die. So if, for example, a lady's touching a hot cooking pot in India, she gets burned, blistered, it's not treated, and they become gangrenous. And I've seen the lepers, you know, they're all gone, all the fingers are gone, they've rotted off. And their feet, you know, if you're walking barefoot and you kick something and get a cut and you can't feel it. The loss of touch. You think from the moment of birth, mother knows about this, from the moment of birth, a baby needs to feel the touch of its mother. Her sense, its sense of her love for it. Physical deprivation, sensory deprivation, is a torture. I couldn't believe this when I was reading it. This is today, in modern America, the most civilized country on the planet? Question mark. In 1972, Albert Woodfox, who was just a youngster then, was accused of causing the death of a prison guard. He was in prison for thieving or whatever, and there was a riot in the prison. He, along with another young man, was accused of the death of a prison guard, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment. The conviction was not good at all. There was no certainty about it, and since then there have been two retrials. But he was sentenced to life imprisonment. For the last 43 years, Albert Woodfox has been in solitary confinement. You imagine what that does to your brain, your mind. 43 years, 23 hours a day in solitary confinement, 1 hour you're allowed to exercise for a little bit, and then they lock you up again. Think of the child never cuddled by its parents. Do you remember Annika Rice, that documentary years ago where she went to Romania and she saw these so-called children's orphanages, homes in underground dungeons where children had been damaged almost irreparably because of years of neglect. First time I held my girlfriend's hand, oh, it's the closest I've come to a sweat. Ooh. And we still hold hands, actually. When we go out walking, it's just automatic. Don't even think about it. We just walk holding hands. And My father-in-law, he spent his last 4 years in a care home. And when his wife died, she died about 10 years before him. And he said to me, when she died, he said, I kept remembering this verse, this line from a poem, "Oh, for the touch of a vanished hand, the sound of a voice not heard." When I visited him, I used to visit him most days when he was in the home, and he was blind by then, almost, I should think. I always held his hand, and he would say, "Dennis." He never hugged his children. I've never seen him hug Kathleen. His mother never hugged him. So, what does this tell us? Well, we're the body of Christ, aren't we? There's a poem that begins, "Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today." May we be Christ's healing touch to someone, in the however small, but may we be Christ's healing touch to someone this week.